Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We are back and we are live. It is Fight IQ presented by RotoWire. Here to talk UFC 261, not one, not two. We have three title fights. The UFC welterweight championship on the line. Kamaru Usman taking on Jorge Masvidal. The UFC women's flyweight championship of the world. Valentina Shevchenko defends against Jessica Andrade. And the UFC women's... I almost said Adam Waite. Wow. Maybe pipe dream. UFC strawweight championship of the world. We got Zhang Weili taking on Rose Namajunas. I can never say her last name right. We're just going to call her Thug Rose, shouting out Daniel Cormier. I'm your host of Daily Fantasy Sniper. With me, as always, the co-host, the analyst, the important guys of this podcast, Chris Olsen, who you can find on Twitter at RealChrisOlsen, and Joe, better known at Sun Tzu. Guys, are you ready for UFC 261?
I am ready. I have to say, I don't like when you demean yourself like that. You are very important to this podcast, Sean. And
He's self-deprecating.
I'm just
peppering in little stuff. I'm not full fight breaking down on this podcast. I do that other places.
Fair enough. But yes, I am ready. I like this card a lot for DFS purposes. The competitors coming from the WLF, the Chinese regional scene. I like those fights because I think a lot of people won't necessarily have looked into their fighters too deeply and could have some opportunities there. And just overall, I think a good card. So I'm ready to get into it.
Coming off a rough week, it's tough when you start with 53% of your lineups down a fighter, which is what happened to me last week. And of course, the six lineups that I did have with Malkoon in them, four of them had either Stevens or close in those lineups. So it was a pretty ugly, ugly slate for me coming off of a string of really good ones. So I need to get back on track. There are some really cool upsized contest this week. I just noticed that the televised slate captain's spot contest is now 20K as opposed to 10. So I might have to put a few more lineups in there. And the $8 contest in the main slate has been bumped up to 10K from 5K. So, there's been some nice pops in some of the contests. I'm curious to see how quickly the 200,000 main contest sells out, to see if we could kind of lobby DK for upsizing that in the future. But yeah, I am psyched for this card.
A lot of money out there. 2B1 contests are bigger. Before we get started on the fight by fight breakdown, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Please give us a like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and listen or subscribe, do both, on iTunes. It is the RotoWire, just straight RotoWire podcast on iTunes. Let's get into some fights. It would have been really sweet. I pulled up DraftKings, guys, and I'm totally just stalling now because for whatever reason it didn't open a contest. Look at the salaries. So I have DraftKings open, but I flipped to the screen and went, oh shit. All right, here we are. First fight up, a surprisingly important fight, and I'm glad we have Joe here for this. Ariane, the queen of steroids, Carnelosi at 8,600, taking on God, I hate to get hit with punches. Liang at 7,600. A line on this fight. Carnelosi is the favorite at -210. The comeback on Liang +190. Fight does not go to decision. -245. And this one, I can, you know what? I said I don't do the breakdowns, but this one's easy. Liang's going to shoot for takedowns. And if she gets punched, God, she hates it. She'll fall to her back. So, who's going to end up on top tier? Is Carnelosi going to finish her, or is Liang going to grapple her? I'll take a shot in the dog because there's a lot of 9K fighters we got to talk about. But first fight of the night, and it seems like Varian City, Joe. Who you got? Start us off.
Yeah, so first of all, I see a message in chat that from Jeannie that she's not getting any sound. If anyone else in chat can shoot us a note and let us know that you're kind of hearing us, because obviously that's sort of important.
Yeah.
As it relates to this fight, I'm with you, Sean. Because of the fact that we're looking for dogs, and obviously this is a 5'1" uber muscular fighter going against someone who's what, 7-8 inches taller, has got a reach advantage as well. And a lot of fights is, this is one of the Chinese PI fighters. Performance Institute fighters. The only issue is, if you do a little dive into her record, her losses are probably the best competitors that she's fought. She's definitely, done some can crushing here. Not to say that Carmelosi is a world beater by any means. I think Carmelosi's probably going to be underowned, so there might be some leverage there if you're looking for some leverage. But I'm going to also go with Sean here, and I am going to go with the dog here in Liang. It's not a very confident pick, but we do need to have some dogs here, so I'm going to take her.
Chris, who you got?
So I like Liang too. I wasn't sure coming in.
Oh, Jesus. This is not good for us.
Yeah, I'm saying I wasn't sure coming in if that was going to be a popular pick or not, but if the indication here is that it's going to be, maybe I'll go more the other side. But the reason I like Liang, you guys mentioned a lot of it, but I'll say too that she's pretty big for this weight class, and she's long for it too. I like that about her. You do have to worry because Carnelosi does like to stalk and then corner you and try to throw strikes. But I just don't see why this line has to be this wide. Carnelosi had started facing better competition in 2018, but before that, and I mean, she only last fought in 2019. Before that, she was facing the same like 4-4, 0-3 fighters that Liang was facing. So to me, this is more of an even fight, and I just like the value there. That I think this should be lined a little closer, and obviously the grappler points that we always need to be concerned about here. So I'm taking Liang, but this is a pretty good bellwether with these two guys of what the community at large is thinking. So maybe have more Carnelosi just in case she does get hit and Liang does not like getting hit. So
at all. Like I'm scared she's gonna pull a Malcolm Gordon. Yeah. That's who she reminds me of.
Oh, shit,
I got punched. Yeah. I'm on the no.
I think this line was a little closer, Chris. I think it opened up closer and widened over the course of the week.
Okay,
somewhat surprising to me that it widened so much.
Yeah. All right. Pick here is Young, but maybe some more Carnelosi to get some leverage.
Hey, three of us on the dog right out of the gate.
Wow. Hey, Caleb in chat says he can hear us go.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Yeah, everybody seems to be okay.
I don't understand who he's talking to. Because so, I would have assumed he meant me, but I mean, it sounds like he means Joe.
Well, thank you. Jeannie, you need to maybe check your volume because it seems like everything's coming in. Shout out to Jeannie. It's great to have female viewers here.
I got to not say anything inappropriate. I put the over under.
I think it's Gene, but either way.
Oh, I think the female viewers are tuning in for Chris anyway. So, like, that's
fine. I mean, not since he cut his hair. He cut his hair. So
yeah, I mean, he's looking stylish. I mean, look at that. I mean, wow.
And if there are already women watching, please let me know because I'll try and not say anything too disgusting. But yeah. I'm putting the over-under at like 17 and a half minutes.
Okay. So we'll work at that.
Yeah. Or if you're listening on iTunes and you hear a commercial break pop in, it's probably because I went on some rant that you shouldn't be hearing.
We have to put a governor on Sean sometimes, but it's all good.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it PG-13.
Yeah. Wife's not able to do it. Anyway, next fight up. You know what? I'm stalling so long because this next fight, we could go fast for DFS. Aori Quilang. Quilang Aori, these Chinese names, I never know which one to say first. Take it on to Jeff Molina. Aori is 8,200. Molina is 8,000. Line on this fight. It's a pick 'em. Molina's minus 112 now. Aori is plus 102. Should be a boring striking match. Aori does have some exciting fights in his history, you know, on the low-level regional scene. So it's kind of a toss-up in how this fight even goes, but doesn't seem like a great one to target. Chris, who do you like, and are you targeting it?
I think I'm targeting it a little bit just because Quilang is he likes to brawl a little bit from what I've seen, and he also will wrestle. Molina is a grappler as well. I wouldn't like the fight as much if Molina was facing another opponent, but I think Quilang is going to, you know, get in his face and going to force action one way or the other. So from that perspective, I do like it. I think it could peter out, but I also think it's something that people might not be paying attention to, as Sean is still, you know, taking that a little hard for who the GOAT is, but someone might not be paying attention.
I'm just having some friendly banter with our fans.
Oh no, I respect it. It's fine, but yeah. So my pick is gonna be, I guess I'm gonna go with Molina just because I like his countering ability. We saw in his Contender Series fight that he can counter pretty well, and I think Quilang just sort of rushes into the pocket with his sort of face in there. So I'm going to go with Molina maybe for a kind of surprising upside with the points. But I think this can be a kind of a fight where it could score a little higher than expected with the wrestling and or brawling style of Quilang. But, that's my pick is Jeff Molina.
Okay, so this is an 8,200, 8,000 fight. So this is really close, at least from a DraftKings perspective. Molina, my lean is to Molina simply because he is fighting out of one of the hottest fight camps right now in Glory Fitness, Glory MMA, James Krause. Apparently, shout out to Cody Safik. I don't like to plagiarize, but apparently Molina is the winner of two awards in the annual Glory MMA awards ceremony, Most Improved and Best Teammate. So I don't know if most improved is a great award, but, he's going to have a good game plan coming in. I think this is a winnable fight for Aori, just like I think it's a winnable fight for Molina. If it's a stand-up striking affair and it goes to a decision, I don't really see it scoring super well. But because it's one of those 8,200, 8,000 fights and the lines are pretty tight, there might be some play. I just don't see a ton of line value. So I'll go with Molina, and it's purely a play off of Glory, right? I think these fighters are really close, but I'll take Molina purely because of, my lean towards Glory.
I'm also leaning very, very, very slightly towards Molina, but I kind of think if one person's going to break the slate, it's more likely to be Aori.
Could be.
But Molina is my pick. All right, next fight up. Rong Zhu at 9,100, taking on Carzula Vargas at 7,100. Line on this fight, Rongju minus 235, comeback on Vargas plus 215. Fight doesn't go to decision, minus 160. Rongju, regional, you know, Chinese prospect. Carzula Vargas, journeyman veteran, 0-2 in the UFC. Yeah, you could say he was going to beat Brock Weaver. He was going to beat Brock Weaver. Let's just leave it there. But high variance fight, need underdogs. I mean, I'm picking Rongju. I think he's a real prospect, but it's one of those. This is one of those. If I'm playing one of them in single entry, I'm probably playing Carzula Vargas, and that terrifies me. Joe, who you got?
So it's not the same weight class, but how cool would it be if Rongju fought Sokaju? Can you imagine, like, the announcers going, in this corner, Rongju, in this corner, Sokaju? Like, that would just be so cool.
But John Anik would crush it.
Yeah, I love it. You know, Rongju versus Sokaju. As opposed to Raichu. I don't know. Anyway, is this the guy, Rongju, that, like, apparently has been fighting since he was 16 and says he's only 21, but he's really probably older? Because there's a couple of Chinese fighters on this card, no offense, that, you know, their age is suspect, like, you know, like another Song Yadong type of situation. There are some people that are really high on this guy. I don't know how to play these debuting Chinese fighters. Like, are we going to give a lot of credit to the PI and say because they all did their training camps at the PI and they've been getting good training even during COVID, that, you know, that gives them a leg up? I don't know. There's not a lot of tape on these guys. You know, a lot of them are can crushers. I guess I'll lean towards Rongju, but I think Vargas, I think there's going to be some people playing Vargas again in the hunt for dogs, and to get some of the top tier DK plays in, you're going to need to find, you know, some punts on the lower end. And, you know, I think, you know, at least one of the title fights is there's going to be potential dog action. But this is another one where, you know, do you give Vargas a shot based off of him having, you know, essentially beat Brock Weaver? Brock Weaver's now no longer in the UFC. I don't know. I'll go with Rongju, but again, this is not a real confident pick.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, your analysis of, you know, limited tape and can crushing is valid, but I liked what I did see from Rongju on tape even before the PI. He looks like a fluid kickboxer with some power. I think he controls the range pretty well. And Carzula Vargas, I don't know, just very underwhelming. Like, he's gonna try to wrestle. He's gonna try to get his takedown. So, I mean, as we said, that's always a plus in this DK new scoring now. So go for it if you want to. I mean, if he is gonna be more popular, and he may be, just because, you know, wrestler guy we know against dog against guy we don't, then I want more Rongju, because I do think he's a legit prospect. I think he could be a legit knockout guy, especially in a fight like this. I don't put much stock into, you know, doing whatever he did to Brock Weaver, because, I mean, the fact that he wasn't able to beat Brock Weaver more thoroughly before that should maybe
raise eyebrows. I mean, he was on his way to knocking out Weaver.
Well,
and actually, he did knock him out.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Or whatever that's worth.
Yeah. He needed to employ some questionable techniques, but he got it done.
It wasn't a questionable technique. He's a big, dumb, juiced up idiot. He reminds me in that way of, oh God, my hometown guy here. Help me out. John Volante.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's who it reminds me of. Just not smart.
Yeah. So I think Rongju, this could be like a pay up variant kind of thing. A pay up leverage spot, maybe. If that's the way it's going, but I think Ju is a legit prospect, and maybe be a little heavier on him here.
Next fight up, a pronunciation I'm taking from John Anik at the weigh-ins today: Dana Bakari. Didn't say Bakarelli, said Bakari, I believe. So I'm gonna go with that. Let's just call him Dana. He's 8,500, taking on Kevin Natvedad at 7,700. Dana is a minus 190 favorite. Natvedad plus 165. not a great DFS fight. I do think Dana wins, better striker. I know what Nat Vedad is at this point is in his career. 36, like he's a finished product. He's 36 years old. Journeyman, meh. So I'm going to take Dana. I'm worried about the scoring, but I think he wins a striking battle here. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, no disrespect to the man, but every time I see his name, I think Batgirl.
I'll take him to knock you out in round one.
Yeah, no, he would certainly get it done. He would win by forfeit, actually, is what would happen. But I think that Bakary is a nice pressuring striker, and I don't think that much of Natividad. Natividad is actually a wrestler. We didn't get to see it against Miles Johns because he was the bigger, stronger wrestler. And Bakary was taken down 3 times by Hali Alatang in his debut. I tend to think that that Bakary is just going to be much stronger here, and he's going to have strong enough hips to thwart the takedowns. But if Natividad gets him on the ground, you know, he's a good jiu-jitsu player, so that could be a thing. I tend to think that he's going to be able to stuff those takedowns and eventually maybe get a knockout here. If he doesn't get a knockout and can stuff the takedowns, it's going to be a pretty, you know, low-owned – it's going to be a pretty low-owned fight. But yeah, that I think that's the way to look at it, is you either go with Bakary thinking that he's going to get the knockout or Natividad for the takedowns. I'm going to go with the former here, so my pick is Bakary.
Joe?
Yeah, so there will be a time where I will give you a more definitive, confident pick. Unfortunately, this is not the time. A lot of people I respect are on Bakary, and because of my respect for these people, that is my lean here. Again, looking for dogs, looking for potential dogs who could score. I'm going to be higher owned on Navidad, but in terms of picking a winner and maybe even a bet, I would go with Bakary.
Agreed. Next fight up, Pat Sabatini, 8,800, taking on Tristan Connolly at 7,400. Line on this fight, Pat Sabatini. The line has been growing all week. It's minus 240 now. Tristan Connolly plus 220. Sabatini wants to grapple. He's got odds value. He's in the mid-eights. I mean, it feels like the chalky slate breaker. I'm on Sabatini. I don't think Connolly's very good. He's a journeyman they brought in to lose. He happened to win. We'll see if Sabatini can get the win that Pereira was supposed to get. So, yeah, give me Sabatini to wrestle bleep this guy. Hey, look, I didn't swear. Hooray, me. Hey, Joe, who you got?
So the long-awaited debut, last fight was canceled. I believe there was a COVID issue. What's really interesting is Connolly, and you guys can check this, I believe dropped from welterweight to featherweight for this fight. So he went from 170 to 145 and made weight. I have not seen how he looked, but you have to believe that he's going to hydrate overnight, and he should have at least a size, if not strength advantage, you know, having fought at 170. Now dropping to 145. And he's one of those guys, like, he's a lunch pail fighter. He's a journeyman. He always gives you good effort. You know, I do think I will have some shares of him as a dog, simply because it is a debuting fighter in Pat Sabatini. I mean, all indications are, to Sean's point, like, yes, you know, this guy should be able to wrestle F Connolly. But, like, we know that Connolly's got cardio. It doesn't appear he's had a bad weight cut. You know, can he do what he did in his last fight and just, you know, maybe Sabatini has an adrenaline dump again, you know, UFC debut, maybe he has an adrenaline dump. Maybe he gets tired, you know, got to watch the fight. Might be a live betting opportunity. I will have shares of Sabatini, of course, 8.8K, but you know, who do you cut to get Sabatini into your lineup? Do you take one of the studs out of the title fight? So, you know, it's going to be really interesting lineup construction this week. So I will have shares of Sabatini. I will have some shares of Connolly, just because, you know, maybe he wins the cardio war.
I have an answer to that question, but we'll get to that later. Okay. Chris, who you got?
So I'm going to try really hard to get Sabatini into my lineups because, I don't think Tristan Connolly is very good. I think With somebody with a less similar skill set than him, I think he can be maybe better, but I think Sabatini is kind of a much better version of him. Like, Sabatini will wrestle and grapple. He throws hard. He's more athletic. He's stronger. Like, I just don't – he's a Renzo Gracie fighter. I don't see where Tristan Connolly is better anywhere. And I think that you know, the Michelle Pereira fight was a thing where it's like, okay, I basically have – and he's calmed down a little bit, but I basically have a meme fighter in front of me. If I just sort of, you know, like Joe said, do the lunch pail thing and sort of march forward, maybe I can just beat him by being the real fighter here. This isn't going to be that. Pat Sabatini looks like the real deal to me. And as I said, I think much better everywhere. So, yeah, I think Sabatini is going to finish him, and I'm really going to try to get him in.
Next fight up, we're going to talk about Brandon All-In Allen, 8,400, taking on Carl Baby K. Roberson at 7,800. Line on this fight, Allen's minus 155, Roberson plus 145. Let me click on something real quick. So a little bit of money's actually coming on Roberson, which the line had been going the other way all week, which is interesting. Started a little bit closer. Look, I have the controversial opinion on this one, I think. I'm taking Carl Roberson. I don't trust Brendan Allen to wrestle. I just don't. If he comes in with the wrestle-heavy game plan and can get takedowns on Roberson, sure. But I think he's going to have a hard time close the distance on Roberson. When Roberson loses, he does get submitted. So in GPPs, I'm playing both sides. I'm not taking some aggressive stand here. I just think I'm going to have more Roberson than most. We have a good inside-the-distance prop on this fight. I'm on the opposite side. I like Roberson on the feet here. He's got to keep it upright. Brendan Allen has the path to victory. I'm going to take a shot on the underdog here. And somebody I don't think will be a very popular underdog at all. I'm going out on a limb, and I'm taking Baby K, Carl Roberson. Who am I up to for this fight? Chris, I think you're starting us off.
Yeah. I think that's a bold prediction. I don't agree with it personally. I think
Nobody does. I'm the only person I've seen picking Carl Roberson.
I don't think I would mind a pick necessarily, but I do think – that Brandon Allen's going to wrestle. We saw him basically just march across the cage and wrestle Kevin Holland. The other fight.
Hold on. You could go wrestle Kevin Holland.
Well, but the fact is that he tried to. I mean, the other fights where that didn't happen, like the Sean Strickland fight, he did try to wrestle at some point. Strickland's a BJJ black belt. So, I mean, everybody looks at him and thinks, okay, that's a boxer. But he's actually really good on the ground. And so I think that's a thing. Also, the Kyle Daukaus fight was just sort of a scrambly mess with another
guy. That was a gross fight.
It was gross. With another guy who's good at jiu-jitsu. So I don't think any of that represents Carl Roberson. Three losses in the UFC, all by submission. The one against Marvin Vettori, I think, is particularly egregious, where, you know, he was doing fine in the fight, and then Marvin Vettori just decided, okay, it's time to end the fight and got to take
it. But Marvin Vettori's fighting in 2 months for the middleweight title. I got to see it.
But it's just a strategy that can work. And I think that Allen is going to be, I mean, regardless of whether, like, you think he might want to go for takedowns earlier or later, he is going to just be really aggressive. And so I think at a certain point he's going to have to wrestle, because if he doesn't, he's going to feel the power of Carl Roberson. So I think he's going to wrestle just fine. I think he wins by submission. And by the way, that prop is plus 200, at least in William Hill, where I saw it, which is way. I mean, if you want to do something, that's probably the thing to do. Just saying. But my pick is Allen.
Okay. So you want a compelling statistic? Who has more takedowns since November 2019, Roberson or Allen? I will tell you the answer to that is Roberson, because Allen has not had a takedown in a UFC fight since October 2019. So you better hope he wrestles, because if he doesn't wrestle, that was a pretty brutal knockout also. I'd much rather have a fight. Like, look, no one wants a fighter coming off of a loss, but I'd rather have a fighter coming off of a submission loss than getting dropped.
At least he doesn't have come back up the worst knockout on this card. We can talk about that later. Right, There's a bad one coming.
So, Sean, honestly, I don't want to deflate your bubble, but I don't know if your take is as hot as you might think it is. I have been hearing some love for Roberson, and I am going to have shares of him.
I want to know who's crazy like me. We're going to
talk there are others out there. Okay, so
I believe you.
I'll give a shout out. I'll give a shout out then, since you want to know. One of the better, or I should say one of the best fighters who actually can handicap fights. And, you know, it sounds like it might be intuitive for a fighter to be able to handicap fights. But I've run into so many fighters who don't know, like who don't watch other people fight. But Pete DeHeat, you know, one of our competitors, Awesome Mo, Pete DeHeat is a really good analyst, and he is on Roberson. Give Pete DeHeat a shout out. He's very accessible. Great guy, Pete DeHeat. So I don't know whether I can pick him here because he definitely has flaws in his game, but I think he is a solid DraftKings play at 7.8K. I think he's going to be higher owned than you might think. I'm going to say that Allen writes the ship here and figures out, no, having watched some film, or at least hopefully his team has watched film on what it takes, because there are very, very glaring holes in Roberson's game. So I'm going to take Allen here to win, but I will have shares of Roberson and DraftKings.
All right, next. I just followed him because now I want to, and he's from right where I went to college. I'll make a new friend in DFS today. All right, next fight up. Oh, good. It's the fight I was just alluding to. Dwight Grant, 9,200, taken on Stefan Sekulic.
Coming off a layoff.
Sekulic at 7,000. Well, a USADA layoff. But all right, hang on. We'll get to the narrative in this fight in a second. Line on this fight. Let's take care of the business here. Grant is -200. Sekulic is +185. Fight does not go to decision, -165. Okay, here's the issue with this fight is Sekulic, not very good, hasn't won a fight in the UFC, coming off a USADA suspension, crush cans on the regional scene. He can get submissions. Dwight Grant, low volume, knockout power, but knockout or bust in DFS. And oh yeah, Daniel Rodriguez knocked him down 3 times in the last fight and then knocked him the fuck out. So I hate when fighters come back from, at least he did get a bunch of time off, but they're going to stand and trade probably. This fight can go so many different ways. Dwight Grant can get a quick knockout. Sekulic can get a quick knockout because the chin is shot. He can get a submission. Or they could do a Dwight Grant striking. Imagine no one scores anything for 3 rounds. There's all kinds of places to go in this fight. For DFS, though, my pick is Dwight Grant because he's more technical. So that's where I'm going to leave the fight analysis. In terms of DFS, we need dogs. Dwight Grant, if he's going to be on the octagon, he's got to outscore Wei Li Zhang, Sabatini, Crute, Shevchenko, Usman. Like, he's got to outscore at least, you know, half of those people. So he's got 60 seconds to do it, probably, with his style. I'll take some shots on Sekulic, because if he wins, he's on the optimal lineup. And if you don't have enough, you're tearing up tickets. So Grant's the pick. Sekulic is a good GPP play. Don't touch this fight in cash games. If you're playing cash games, stay the fuck away. Joe.
Okay, so I think if you have the DraftKings app on your phone, what they did to poor Tristan Connolly is I think they used Cowboy Oliveira's photo. So
they're all messed up.
Yeah, so what I think we should perhaps think about doing here is use Rock Hassan's photo on Dwight Grant. Because is Dwight Grant the Rock Hassan of this slate? And that's what we all have to think about. Now, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about oh, God, now you got me struggling with his name.
Sekulic.
Sekulic. Yeah, I don't know a lot about him. I'll be honest. I mean, I don't know a lot about him. You know, coming off a USADA layoff, you know, has he been getting the training in that he should be? You know, all these are kind of unknowns. I mean, you know, especially he's coming from Europe, right? So he's coming from, let's see, Family Fight Team. Like, what in the heck is Family Fight Team? But, you know, he had a pretty decent record. You know, he's only 29 years old. It's no shame to lose to Ramazan Ameev. You know, he's had, again, he had a decent record prior to that. let's see if there's anybody notable in this fighting out of Serbia. If there's anybody notable on this team, I don't think so, probably, because no, I don't see anybody that's even got a fight scheduled. But anyway, you know, that's the real risk here is, like, you don't know. You've got what, a 36-year-old fighter in, you know, in Dwight Grant, which, again, you know, he's not a heavyweight. He's not a light heavyweight. That's pretty old for the weight class. You know, coming off of a brutal knockout, you know, which way do you go here? I mean, you know, I think if you want to take a flyer, AKA absent Daniel Cormier, absent Habib, is not like a great, great camp. You know, so maybe you take a flyer at 7K. Shit, do I pick him? I'm going to go really out on a limb and say that Dwight Grant is going to be this week's Rakasan, and I'm going to pick the dog.
I watch Chris come in guns blazing saying, of course the Coolidge is going to win, you bunch of dummies.
No, I don't think Chris is going to say that.
There's your segue. Well,
the first thing I would say is the only reason I don't like the Razak Al-Hassan comparison is because I don't think anybody is coming into this saying Dwight Grant is definitely the guy to pick here because he's going to knock out Sekulic. At least I hope they're not saying that, because we all remember Dwight Grant's fight with
Was he the one who fought Zach Otto? I almost fell asleep.
Zach Otto. And he lost to Zach Otto, Dwight Grant.
Oh, God.
A fight where that he could have won it literally any time he wanted. Hurt him at the end of the first round, and then
they didn't fight. Me and my daughter could have played patty cake in the middle of the octagon and been undisturbed.
And it wasn't just that. I mean, even the fights where, like, when he knocked out Carlo Pedersoli, not much was happening in that fight. And then the end of the first round, he knocks out Pedersoli. So it's really just, I mean, he started a little faster in the Daniel Rodriguez fight.
He could have started slower. He couldn't possibly started slower.
You think he started slower in that fight? No,
he couldn't possibly have started any slower than him.
Right.
Anything's a tick up from nothing. No,
it's true, but I mean, he was at least like throwing leg kicks. And the other thing is, we should mention, we have the bigger cage now. And so that could definitely play a part in this. I'm going to be on the side of pretty much fading this. It could burn me, but I would really dog or pass this because I'm not into knockout or bust, especially when the guy just doesn't throw. We've seen the folly of relying on that before with much better fighters than him, much more accomplished fighters than him, and it doesn't really work out. So at least Sekulic, as Sean said, is going to go for some takedowns. I'll take that. I'm probably not going to have much of any of Dwight Grant. I'll have some, of course, but probably not very much at all. And if it burns me, it does. But so dog or pass, but I'm pretty much passing.
All right, next fight up. We're going to – oh, I flipped my order. Damn it. Hold, please. Hit the wrong button. All right, here we go. Randy Brown, 8,700, taking on Alex Cowboy Oliveira at 7,500. Line on this fight, Randy Brown is the – what is it now? Minus – whoa, this line has closed a bunch. Really, minus 137. Come back on Alex Oliveira, plus 127, down about 15 cents. Sure. Can anybody, before I cap this fight or pick this fight, we talk about it. Can anybody out there, chat or you guys, tell me which Alex Oliveira is going to show up? Because I don't know how to pick this fight real quick. But you can't. Nobody can. I'm going to just have to assume it's the guy who's 2-4 in his last six, and one of those wins is a split decision win over Max Griffin. Like, he hasn't looked great at all. And Randy Brown is improving young guy, crazy athletic. I've seen Oliveira slow down in fights. Like, I'll take the Brown athleticism, especially now that Alex Oliveira is going to be way overowned. Now, could he grapple and win this fight? Sure. The path is there. I can't trust him. I just can't. I'll be underweight to Oliveira because he's going to be chalky, but like, I'll be in trouble if the guy who, there was a time in Oliveira's career when every time he fought, I would go through the guys he fought and their next fight. Because after you fought him, you changed. Like, shit changed for you. not the same guy anymore. If that guy shows up, he could absolutely hurt Randy Brown and get a finish. But can't trust it. I'm going Randy Brown. I'm going to be underweight to this fight, and I'm going to be terrified the whole time. This one is a even number fight, so that means Chris, you're up.
Yeah, I think as far as athleticism goes, I would say that Oliveira, when he's fresh, with that caveat, is plenty athletic to hang with Randy Brown. Also like the way he moves in and out. I think that for at least a round, he's really dangerous and tough to deal with. I also think that, like, it's funny because he always tries to grapple whether he should or not, and in this fight, he should. So
that's not true. He should have tried to grapple against Mike Perry.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean,
I remember screaming at my TV, "Wrestle him! Are you stupid?" I remember this.
I guess it ebbs and flows, but I mean, there was at least a while there where it was like, "You're winning on the feet. Why are you doing this?" But fair enough. I think I like Oliveira a little bit here, just because I think that explosivity is going to be a little better, and Randy Brown tends to get hit a lot. He tends to, like, I mean, he's got it. It's funny, he's got reach, but he tends to sort of just sit in the pocket and a little too long, get himself cracked. That's what he did against Vicente Luque, and I think it happened here too, and also the wrestling. So I'm gonna go Oliveira here. I'm not gonna be under it. I think this is gonna be an action fight, and I think it's gonna end. So I'm gonna be pretty heavily weighted to it, but the pick is going to be Oliveira.
So I will say, Chris, that the use of the word fresh is an interesting descriptor for Cowboy Oliveira, because it's certainly a trait he carries into his personal life. Someone on Twitter said, you know, what is a likely reason why a fight might cancel between now and tomorrow? And it's Cowboy Oliveira having to fly home for the birth of his 50th child. I do agree that what I would really respect is, because we know that for whatever reason, the cardio doesn't seem to be there anymore for Cowboy Oliveira. What I would like to see him do is go balls out and try for the knockout. And that, in my eyes, makes him a GPP play. Randy Brown, I mean, he's always going to be known for the guy that got knocked out by hammer fist from the bottom by Nico Price. But, you know, aside from that, you know, look, there's no shame in losing to Vicente Luque. And, you know, finishing Brian Barber.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Rena Bam Bam, that is a pretty big achievement. So I do see him evolving, or having evolved as a fighter. I think if he can weather the early storm from Cowboy, he can certainly capitalize in the later rounds. So my pick is going to be Randy Brown. However, I will have shares of Cowboy Oliveira as a GPP play, because I do think that there is a path to victory, and he can kind of go out there and go all in for however much cardio he has, 5 minutes, 7.5 minutes, and try to finish Randy Brown.
All right, guys, main card is coming up. If you're listening on iTunes, we're going to take a quick break before we break down the main card.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know, since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Always an awkward pause for us here on YouTube. I'm just like, hey, there was a break there. What are these guys doing?
So why are we taking a break for iTunes?
We have sponsors and commercials. They got to fill in something clever.
Got it.
I hope it was Geico. I love those commercials.
By the way, do you guys realize that the commercial we had for YouTube to launch the podcast was Awesome Mo? It was Awesome Mo. The commercial that we had at the beginning of our pod here on YouTube was Awesome Mo, which is quite interesting.
I mean,
he's everywhere now.
Boo. Yeah. Boo to you, Alex Baker. Boo to you.
Yeah, look, I admire the guy. Anybody who can do this and make a living at it gets props from me.
Oh, yeah. Just busting chops. Anyway,
I know.
Main card time. Jimmy the Brute Crute, 8,900, taking on Anthony Smith at 7,300. Line on this fight, Jimmy Crute's -190, Anthony Smith +175. I love Jimmy Crute. Anybody who brings the fight to Anthony Smith and moves forward usually wins. Crute's aggressive. He can grapple. Am I going to be nervous? Sure. Could he get the vet lesson? Maybe. Do I think most likelihood he smashes Anthony Smith? Yes, I do. Jimmy Crute's my pick. Joe, who you got?
So ESPN has a program out called The Daily Line where they have, like, you know, handicappers pick. And they did some coverage of UFC 261. And the handicapper, and I can't remember what his name was, picked Smith. Said Smith is kind of in the right place right now. I am not picking Smith. I am going to pick Crute here. But I do think Smith is an intriguing option. He has snatched a victory from the jaws of defeat on numerous occasions. He's fought some really solid competition. I'll never forget the comment to his corner, "I think I actually have my teeth in my mouth," which I thought was very interesting. So I do think that you should probably have some GPP shares of Smith, but I'm going to be heavier weighted towards Crute. I think Crute, I'm not going to say sneaky, but, like, if it wasn't for the fact that there were three title fights, you know, Crute might be the highest owned guy on the slate. If it wasn't for the fact that there were three 5-round title fights. So I think Crute's going to be pretty popular, but I would certainly have some shares of Smith in case we get another miraculous, you know, taking victory from the jaws of defeat type of performances. So give me Crute here, but let's take a few shares of Smith.
Chris, who you got?
Yeah, this kind of feels like a trap because I think Jimmy Crute should just win this going away. We can see that he can strike. He can wrestle if he wants to. He took down Mikel Oleksandr 8 times in that first round, I think, before submitting him. So he's a kind of fighter who's just going to assess the game plan and do what he thinks is best against Anthony Smith. I have to believe that that's getting a takedown against a long and rangy fighter and against a guy who can be taken down as Smith can. Devin Clark's problem was that he was bad at jiu-jitsu. Crute does not have that problem. Submitting Paul Craig, I believe he's the only guy to do that. So I think that everything is lined up for Jimmy Crute to steamroll here, which is why I won't be surprised if he gets knocked out, because that's sort of the way that these things tend to go. But I think Crute is really in a great spot here, and I'm gonna be on him pretty heavy.
Right, next fight up, I'm gonna talk about Uriah Hall at 8,300, taking on Chris Weidman at 7,900. The line has flipped. Weidman is the favorite, -130. Uriah Hall +120. Fight doesn't go to decision, -130. This fight sucks for me because it's a guy he's my Twitter banner image in Uriah Hall after the knockout of Adam Cella, which is still one of my craziest knockouts I've ever seen. It doesn't get enough credit because it was on Tough. And Chris Weidman, who from Baldwin, New York, I live close to there before pandemic, go there all the time. So where do you go with this fight? I know they had it once before, but they're different guys. And it's kind of, Hall has more of a chance now than he did then, because I've seen Weidman crack. I know Dominic Reyes is a 205er, but he hurt him. I saw Weidman gas out against Akhmedov. There's multiple paths here for Uriah Hall, but it's the grappling of Weidman against the striking of Hall. Pure striker versus grappler. I always lean towards the grappler. I'm picking Chris Weidman. But Uriah Hall, if he were to get a 60-second knockout bonus, is it you're really going to be surprised? I watched Chris Weidman winning a fight in MSG, clearly up 2-0, and being a dummy and standing and trading with Jacare Souza. And I remember I had a bet on Chris Weidman. What are you doing? Just be safe. And he gets knocked out. And anything can happen. He can get knocked out again. Absolutely. I'm going to hope he leans in the grappling and doesn't gas out again, which is a lot of big ifs, but close fight. I'm taking Weidman. I keep forgetting. I think it's Joe. No, it's Chris.
It's Chris?
Okay. It's Chris.
All right. Yeah, the thing that's interesting to me here, well, there's a couple of things. The first is that Uriah Hall's hands are very, very heavy, which we don't talk about enough. When we talk about him, couple of one-punch knockouts back-to-back against Bevon Lewis and somebody I'm forgetting. Oh, Christoph Jacko. And I said
both fights he was losing, by the way.
Sure.
Which is just like you're saying.
Just saying he has
Anthony Smith like.
Yeah, no, it's true. And a lot of that was his inaction. I think he sort of, he always says he flips a switch, but then he did sort of the same thing in the Uriah Hall fight and then sort of just woke up in the third, Anderson Silva fight, and then just woke up in the third round. But the thing is, not only does he have a lot of power, he's way faster. Like, he's just going to be way, way faster if it stays on the feet. And the thing is, Chris Weidman is, to put it delicately, not a efficient takedown artist. He always misses on, if he shoots 12 or 13, which he generally does these days, he's probably only going to hit on 5 or 6. And we saw Uriah Hall get out from under Carlos Jr. multiple times, stand up and win that fight when he was tired. And Chris Weidman gets very tired. He was very tired in his last fight before just sort of being able to lay and pray the third round away, which I don't think is going to be the case here. I think Uriah Hall has improved his takedown defense, at least to the point where it's serviceable now. And I think that his jiu-jitsu defense is good enough. I think this doesn't need to be standing for very long for Uriah Hall to get this done. We saw how quickly Dominic Reyes was able to get it done. Sure, that's a weight class up, but as I say, Uriah Hall has plenty of power. I think he's going to use it, and I think he's going to get the knockout. So my pick is Uriah Hall.
Joe.
Okay, so there's some narrative around this fight. Sean, I am sorry to say that Chris Weidman has left your beloved Long Island, home of high hair, gray shoes, and an accent that will make your ears bleed.
He did it better than Aljo did, though.
Yes, he moved to South Carolina to train with Wonder Boy, and there's some relationship there. I believe Wonder Boy is married to Chris's sister, although I did hear that Ray Longo went down there, spent 3 weeks, will be in his corner. It makes me nervous as hell because Weidman at 7.8K is the clear line value, is going to be supremely highly owned. And is going to kill a lot of lineups if Hall drops him and finishes him, which is not unlikely. So you would think that with that narrative that I'm going to be picking Hall. I'm not. I can't trust Hall either. God, I got to figure out the right tense and how I use that. So I am going to stick with Weidman here.
I know likey.
I do think he can wrestle FM. I hope his cardio is up. There's a whole lot less to do in South Carolina than there is in Long Island. I happen to know the Italian food isn't that great, so he's probably had a pretty good training camp, a good weight cut. I'm just hoping we see a glimpse of the former Chris Weidman simply because he is the line value. He's going to be very popular in cash. A lot of people are going to be playing him. I'm at 7.8K. He makes lineup constructions easier. So I am going to pick Chris Weidman, but I do think because of, you know, the line value on Weidman, I do think having some lineups at Uriah Hall could be very interesting as a leverage play because of that high ownership on Weidman. So, I mean, this is a card to really spread, right? So, like, I don't want to get in your pocket. I don't know what your bankroll is like, But I would certainly spread on this card because, you know, there are some real leverage spots due to ownership. And I think this is potentially one of them, playing Uriah Hall. But I am going to pick Weidman for the win.
All right, next fight up. I'm going to talk about it's title fight time. First one up, Valentina Shevchenko, 9,500, taking on Jessica Andrade at 6,700. A line on this fight, Shevchenko's minus 450, Andrade plus 400. Andrade is the biggest underdog on the card now. She's bigger than Masvidal.
And isn't that crazy?
So she's the biggest underdog on the card, and guess what? She, of the title fights, I think has the best chance to win. I know Joe's going to shake his head, and everyone and their mother's picking Rose. We'll talk about Rose in a second. We'll save it. I'm not on Rose this week. We can save that, and I'm not going to not play Rose because she is going to be super popular. We'll save that fight, though. I don't want to spoil it. This fight, I think Andrade is more alive than people think. Look, Valentina, all these champs look unbeatable until someone beats them. And even if she doesn't beat them, I think Andrade can hang around here. I think she has volume. I like the pressure style. I think she can clinch and just volume clinch and use her strength against Valentina. Now, Valentina, when I keep watching the striking in my head, Valentina's got better technique. I just see Andrade moving forward, volume making this close. Unless Valentina hits her hard enough where Andrade drops or starts acting real hurt. Sure. It's just, I think I'm more confident in the other two champs for reasons we can talk about later. I like them more. Shevchenko, also, I could be DFS talking myself here because at 9,500, she's got to outscore everybody. Could she do it? Sure. But she's going to be super popular. And the lightest where I have to play Usman and Shevchenko, they make my butt hurt. Like, I don't want to do that, like, at all. So I have to make a choice. I'm going to pick Usman. We'll talk about that later. And then that leaves, look, I got to play Andrade. And there's the way these cards are, there's, and it could happen with Rose too. Either one of these underdogs could end up on the optimal lineup in a loss. And we could have stacks of one of the women's title fights on the optimal lineup. So, if you want to spread and you want to throw some of those in there, it could happen. It absolutely, like, if no underdogs win and Andrade puts up 50-55 points on a loss, that could be good enough. So Shevchenko's my pick. I can't not pick her straight up, but I think Andrade has the possibility to make this close and score decently for DFS. This is Joe.
Okay, so as most of you guys know by now, I'm not a straight numbers guy, but I understand where Sean's coming from. So I mean, everybody is going to say, well, Andrade lands 6.4 strikes per minute. I don't think she's going to be able to land that against Val. First of all, I don't think Val will take that punishment from her before taking her down and using her wrestling. The other thing is Andrade does not use great technique in her wrestling to get fights to the ground. It's pure power. Like, I for some reason, just do not see her picking up Val and Val, like, hanging on to an arm bar and getting slammed by her, on her head, you know? So I just don't see that, right? I don't see the high volume being landed on Val. So I get it. Like, I get it. If you look purely at the numbers, you're going to say, 15 minutes times, let's just say times six to make the math easy, right? That's 90 significant strikes, right? 25 minutes. Shit. That's 150 significant strikes.
I don't think she's
right?
going to land that.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that. I'm just extrapolating. And I'm telling you, this is why I'm not a numbers guy, right? So that's 75 points, right? But do we really see her having that kind of success against Val? I don't, right? I certainly could see Val, like, locking something up, getting her in a sub, you know, control time. You're stifling Andrade's power until she gets tired. Now, again, at 125, remember, this is a girl who's fought at 115 and 135. So she's fought in all three weight classes, right? 125, you know, she made very short work at Chookagian. And I'm telling you, the narrative around Val is going to be, well, look, she lost a round to Jennifer Maia. So if she lost a round to Jennifer Maia, I mean, what is Andrade going to be able to do? Well, look, Jennifer Maia is a better wrestler than Andrade. Again, Andrade's got a pure power game. Right. She will look. She doesn't go for technical takedowns. She just uses power. And I get it. And it works, especially at 115. And it certainly worked against Chookagian, You know, who I'm not super high on anyway. So I like Val here a fair amount. I think Val is the best play on the slate for cash. Just because, again, I see Masvidal as having a puncher's chance, but we'll talk about that when we get to it. I would be very surprised, honestly, as someone who won at least one of the two fights against the female GOAT, if not both. I could have easily scored both fights for Val against Nunes. And I would love to see a trilogy because I think Val wins. I'm really high Val here. Again, I think she is probably the best play on the slate for cash. And I would be very surprised if Andrade won.
Yes, by the way, I'm playing Shevchenko and cash games. There's a lineup. I'm not going to I did it on different podcasts. There is a cash game lineup that I think every sharp player is going to have. Like, it comes together super aggressively quick. Like,
I know.
Uncomfortably quick, and I went, ah, shit.
Does it involve a stack?
One stack. Yeah, it's. I would be surprised if you want to. If you really want to talk about it, follow me on Twitter at @sniper_DFS. DM me. We'll talk about it. I won't give it out here, but
we don't want to give out lineups.
Yeah, it's aggressive, and the thing is, on most cards, I would shy away from that. But it's a pay per view card. There's going to be some dumb public lineups out there, so. Thanks for the free rake, and we'll see what happens. I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do, but I am playing cash because I think there's an edge on these pay-per-view cards because just more casuals. So anyway, Chris, Shevchenko, Andrade.
Yeah, well, I think, Joe, saying that Maya is a better wrestler is going to have to be your hot take for this week. I mean, Maya doesn't wrestle. Well, how could you be the better wrestler?
Well, she's more technical.
Oh, I mean, maybe, but the fair
enough. It's not Andrade's fault she could bench press a truck.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But I will also go back to the Jennifer Maia fight, but not just because she won a round. We're going to get a little bit deeper into it than that. Over 7 minutes of control time with only one takedown. To me, that says that she out-muscled Valentina quite a bit. And if she can do it, I think that Andrade can do it. And I also think that unlike Rose Namajunas, unlike Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Valentina Shevchenko doesn't bounce around quite as much. She's on her toes, but she also has the tie stance. So she stands pretty flat-footed in the pocket. I think those clinch situations are going to be more readily available to Andrade than maybe they would have been in a couple of her more recent fights. Obviously, she's going to have to walk through fire. I don't put a lot of stock into somebody who might just say, well, look, she tried to do that against Wiley and she got knocked out. I mean, that happened one time. Is it a concern? Yes, but it's not something I'm going to be overly, obsessed about. It's not really going to hamper the way I construct my lineups. And the thing is, Joe, you mentioned if Valentina takes her down, I guess she could try, but I don't think a lot of people have been able to do that. I don't really remember the last time somebody's even tried to, so maybe she could. I don't think she's going to go that route, and if she doesn't, I mean, the fact of the matter is with the new scoring system, just striking isn't really getting it done for – I mean, Weili Zhang landed 165 significant strikes in her last fight and had a couple of other things too. I mean, not much. She had one takedown in control time, but with everything, with all in and even including the takedown, she only scored 104. So if all Valentina does is strike, it's going to be hard for her to really put up numbers unless she knocks out Andrade, which, again, I don't think is super likely. So I think a lot of things are going in Andrade's favor here. Obviously, she's going to have to be careful. I think it's a binary fight, but I think there's reasons why Andrade can get this done here. And I'm going to take her. And at 6,700, you don't have to twist my arm too hard. So Andrade.
Wow. Wow.
You just ruined my whole I'm going to play Andrade. You just ruined all of it, Chris. You ruined it.
Guys, before we move on to the next fight, there is a PFL card tonight. And for those of you that don't follow me on Twitter, and honestly, I don't care whether you do or don't. I did post up a long shot parlay on Twitter. It is Kabalev inside to win inside the distance or to win by finish. And here's the long shot, which makes this parlay really juicy. Clay Collier to win by KO is plus 800 against Anthony Showtime Pettis. So that parlay pays 15 spot 6-5. Guys, it is a long shot parlay. So I will tell you right now that I bet $127.80 to win 2000. So it is
$120
to $127.80 to win 2000. Look, it is a long shot parlay. That's why it's 15.65 to 1. Do not bet it unless you have some extra cash lying around. Maybe you haven't used your entire stimulus check. Maybe you won some money on the MLB slate, whatever. But that is a parlay I put up on Twitter.
Co-main event time. Zhang Weili, 9,000, taking on Rose Namajunas at 7,200. Weili is minus 190. Rose is plus 175. Look, I've doubted Weili for, I think, too long. I've come around. Look, not just the JJ fight. She's got takedown. She hits for power. I know Rose has made fights close. You can do MMA math, the close fights with JJ, the close fights Weili had with JJ. I think Weili is more well-rounded. Could Rose win? Sure, if she could stay away. What I'm really worried about, though, is I kind of think the first time, but Weili lands way harder than JJ. And when Weili starts hitting Rose, I've seen Rose mentally crumble in different spots. Like, tell me she's going to get cracked that hard and stay in a whole fight for 5 rounds. Good luck, man. And Weili can grapple. She's physically stronger than Rose, I think. Rose is going to be quicker, and maybe she lands like a quick left hand over the, around, just like when she knocked out JJ and puts Weili down. Is it possible? Sure. But I think I'm more confident in Weili than most people. I've seen a lot of people picking Rose on Rose, etc. I'm going Weili here. And pretty confidently, and I'm going to be underweight to Rose, not because she's not live, because of how freaking popular she is.
Yeah.
So give me Weili in this spot. Chris, you get to go first. Joe's got to sit on his hands here.
Yeah, I'm taking Weili also. And I think I think it's the physicality for me. Weili came in to the UFC and in her early fights as somebody who would just muscle her opponents around and get subs. She hasn't been able to do that in recent fights, one because it ended too quickly and one because Joanna has ridiculous takedown defense. Rose does not. I think that the grappling is really going to pay dividends here, and I do think that she hits harder. So it's going to be interesting. We know that Weili could take a shot. We saw it for 5 rounds. We don't know how Rose is going to react when she gets hit, and she's going to get hit a lot. And I think Weili can walk through that storm and maybe break Rose over 3 or 4 rounds if it gets that far. So I think that Rose is going to be live, but I also think it's a little bit of what I talked about in the last fight where, you know, Rose is going to strike. That's what she's going to do. She's not going for takedowns in this spot. If she did, I don't think she'd get him. But I don't think she's going for them here. And I think that even if she wins, that could sort of lead to a kind of a lower score. I mean, that would work, I guess, in this spot, but it's not something I want to bank on. So I'm going to go with Weili here. I think she's got the physicality. She's got the power. She's going to get it done.
Joe.
So probably one of the best lines of the week was a deadpan Cody Saffick talking about Rose Namajunas and how she has so much in common with Zhang in that, Rose Namajunas made a very public comment saying that, you know, Zhang was groomed by the Communist Party, and a deadpan Cody Saffick said, well, you know, Rose Namajunas was groomed by Pat Barry, which I thought was a great comment for those of you that don't know what groomed means.
Yeah, that's not even, that's Google not it. Even. That's not even funny. I hadn't Google thought it. Of that.
That's hilarious. It's actually hilarious.
It's funny, but I mean, it's true. And like, that. You're like,
especially given the overalls that Rose wore to wear and to weigh in. Now, I think so Sean and Chris may be of the mistaken idea that I am like going to pick Rose here. I'm not. What I'm saying is that Rose has, in my opinion, the best chance of all the dogs to win.
I'm still uncomfortable from that comment.
Well, that's where I am here. So I am going to pick Wiley to win. I really do think Wiley will win. I just think that Rose is likely going to survive. Of the three fights, this is probably the one that's most likely to go to decision. I could certainly see Rose scoring some points at 7K in a loss. And, you know, look, would I be shocked if she won? No, I'd be a lot less surprised if Rose won than either of the other two underdogs. So I'm still picking Wiley. I'm still, you know, I still like Rose as perhaps the most likely of the three underdogs to, you know, to take the title or to go home with the title. But I am picking Wiley to win.
All right, next fight up, main event, Kamaru Usman, 9,400. Jorge Masvidal, 6,800. Line on this fight, Usman's minus 430. Masvidal is plus 380. All right, I'm going to go off a little bit in this fight. Has anybody done a better job rebranding themselves late in their career than Jorge Masvidal? Oof. Guys, he is a mediocre journeyman fighter, period. Skill set, period. End of story, period. Don't want to hear arguments, period. You like him? Sure, absolutely. You love his personality. He's top 15, top 10 guy. Sure. Sure. But past that, great marketing job. You know, the crazy win over Askren. Okay, fluky. Thank God for him, Askren didn't get a hold of him, where he would have did to Masvidal what Damian Maia did to him. Probably better, because Askren's a better control grappler. Then you got, you know, the win over Darren Till was probably the best win. I don't rate Darren Till that high, but that's probably the best win of the bunch. He got in the fight with Leon Edwards in the back, sure. And he beat up Nate Diaz, a guy, also old journeyman, a weight class below him. But there was tons of hype around that fight. No, I'm not tripping. You're caught up in the hype of him. Is he a great personality? Yes. Is he a welterweight contender? Fuck no. Fuck no. Why are we not watching Colby Covington too? Because Jorge Masvidal will sell more tickets. That's what it is. That's just honesty. We should be seeing. Let's go through the UFC. I'm taking some time here. So UFC welterweight rankings. Let's look these bad boys up. We got Jorge Masvidal in this fight. Yippee skippy. Colby Covington, better shot to beat Usman. Gilbert Burns, which we just saw. I still think a better shot, even though that
fight
was
probably.
Ian Edwards, better shot. Stephen Thompson, give me that fight. Vicente Luque, give me that fight before Jorge. Michael Chiesa, give me that fight before Jorge. Then it gets start getting dicey.
Edwards already beat Usman?
Did he?
Isn't that Usman's one loss to Edwards?
Oh, is that the one it is?
I think so, but double check.
I think you're right.
I think he's already lost to Edwards. It's just not a. You're right. It's not a sexy fight.
So, no, this is the sexiest fight. Period. All those guys, like I want to. I'm low key interested in Stephen Thompson Usman. I know Usman doesn't put on fun fights, and he's not a great person.
No, that'll be a boring fight, dude. Ugh.
Yeah, and Aldo said, but stylistically interesting, like interesting, but possibly boring.
I do think that
it should be Colby. 100% sign me up for that fight, and Dana's already said it. Like I can't wait. Like. Nothing stupid happened here. I want to see this rematch. I'm hoping Usman fucking sparks out Jorge and we get Adesanya, Vettori, and Usman, Colby on the same card.
Same card.
That would be bananas. Take my money. Charge me $100 for that card. I'd pay it. Like, I'd absolutely pay it. Look, and I don't want to sound like I'm hating too much on Jorge Masvidal. He's done a great job making money. They are prize fighters. Done a great job. But when you're breaking down fights, Usman should smash him all day here. Outside of some kind of, you know, KO, you know, flash KO, mistake from Usman, you know, maybe some, you know, fluky knee. Like, outside of that, Usman should win this fight so often. We saw it once before. Like, yeah, okay, it was on 4 days' notice. It doesn't change here, guys. It just doesn't. Props to Jorge Masvidal. I think he's going to be over-owned because of his name and the public in a pay-per-view fight. I want no part of Masvidal. If Masvidal wins here, I lost my money on DraftKings, although maybe not all of it, because I don't think he'll be that owned in cash games, at least, thankfully. Look, it's Usman. And you give me a choice between Usman and Shevchenko? Usman. Like, Usman would be the highest owned fighter on this card, probably, and I still want to try and find a way to be overweight, I think. So That's my rant. Although I am watching PFL, it's on above me. So, all right, I'm done with my Jorge Masvidal isn't that good bandwagon, and UFC welterweight division is stacked. Let's get Jorge out of the way and let's have some fun fights.
Yeah, Chris, so you're picking Usman. No, I'm
picking Usman. Oh, you're right. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah. So what I found most amusing about Masvidal was at the presser, he was wearing a shirt that was obviously made from my deceased grandmother's drapes, which I thought was quite interesting. Look, I do think that on a full camp, he's got a puncher's chance. I know you guys are probably going to hate this narrative, but if Burns can hurt Usman, Masvidal can finish him with the same type of punch. Because I do think that Masvidal hits straighter and hits harder. So, and I do think that because he's coming off a full camp, that he might be successful in stuffing early takedowns. Now, with that said, I think, you know, the success in stuffing takedowns is going to be fleeting. So if he can't finish Usman quick, then Usman is clearly going to sail. And that is why I will have shares of Masvidal. Of course, I'm going to pick Usman to win here. I think he is a better GPP play potentially than a cash play simply because I think Val has got a higher win probability. I know Val's got a higher win probability. So I like Val more in cash. But I mean, obviously, if you are going to play Val and Usman in cash, I would not say that is a poor way to go. You're just going to have to make some decisions at the lower end of your lineup. You know, so I like Usman here. I do think Masvidal has a puncher's chance, and how interesting would it be if he does kind of pull it off here?
For this division.
I know. I have been such a big Leon Edwards fan. I want to see him get his shot. No one wants to fight him. You know, he's already beaten Usman. So anyway, let's have Usman win and let's get Leon Edwards that rematch. But in any case, I got Usman here. Chris?
Yeah, I think that Jorge Masvidal is basically Nate Diaz, where they do the Jedi mind trick and get these fights where they don't really deserve them. Like, you had Usman calling out a guy he beat. Who does that? How do they get these fights? I mean, unless they really think that the gate's going to be that much bigger, which, I mean, I don't know if Masvidal has proven he's a huge draw yet. But in any case,
By the way, Usman beat Edwards.
Oh, he did?
Oh, he did. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Usman's only lost his second pro fight.
To who?
Jose Caceres.
Okay.
Sure, that guy. But
who never made it to the UFC.
Right. But yeah, I mean, the pick's Usman here. It has to be. The narrative, of course, is the gas tank. I don't think the gas tank is, I mean, it might keep him fresher, but I don't think it's going to help the fundamental problem, which is backing himself up against the cage, and that's where Usman does all his best work. He can talk all he wants about it. It's not manly that you stomp my foot or whatever. Fact of the matter is, it hurts, and that's what drains the gas tank, is that clinch and that strength in the clinch, and that's what leads to the takedowns. He's going to get a lot of them. I would quibble, Joe, with the idea that Masvidal's a harder puncher than Gilbert Burns. I don't think that's true. I think Gilbert Burns is probably one of the harder punchers in the division. Nevertheless, I'm going to have almost no Masvidal here. I'm more with Sean. If he sparks one out, then it's going to be bad for me. I don't think that's going to happen. Usman took a flush overhand from Gilbert Burns and basically stayed on his feet and was able to stay in the fight and keep his wits about him. So the guy is tough. Never been knocked out for a reason. I don't even remember the last time he was been hurt before that. And look, his striking is ever improving. We saw that beautiful crisp jab in the Gilbert Burns fight. Is it better than Masvidal's? No, but I think he should be able to hang with him a little bit there if he has to, and in order to get those takedowns. So I think Usman's gonna roll. I think Usman is the clear choice for this DraftKings You know, the new scoring system, he's put up at least 130 in like four of his last six. If he wins, it's a windfall, and he is got everything going for him to win. So the pick is Usman.
All right, guys, it's time for some hot takes. You got him in chat. Fire him away. I'm going to do the read now, so I have to do it at the end. Make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Like, comment, subscribe everywhere. Thank you to RotoWire, and thank all of you for watching Fight IQ, a show that should be on SiriusXM if I do say so myself. I'm going to start closing with that every week. Anyway, hot takes. Guys, who's got one fired up?
I'm good. I got one. Okay, so there are six fighters in the three title fights. My hot take is that only one of those six will be in the optimal.
Ooh, that is very that's very my hot spicy. Take. I like it. Chris, you got one fired away? Ready to go?
How about Nia Long subs Carnelosi? Is that hot?
Sure,
hot enough. She's on the dark, and I love it.
I'll take it, too, because that'd be big for me.
Yeah, that'd make me a bunch of money.
Based on my early builds, yeah.
Let's see. Hot take. Let me count them up. I think we're in for a very, very, very high-scoring night on DraftKings. We have what? We have 12 fights? It's 13 fights.
By the way, while Sean's thinking about this, if you tell my PFL parlay and it hits, I want you guys to follow Chris and Sean on Twitter.
Nice.
That's very nice of you. But follow Joe too.
We're going to see 11 finishes on this card.
Wow.
And 11. The DK GPP winner is going to be over 700 points.
Wow. Okay.
All right. In chat, howdy from the tractor. Masvidal wins by KO. Get the hell out of here. But it's a hot take. John Tiller, Andrade, Whaley, Usman inside the distance. Andrade. Yeah, that's a hot take. Card ends 3 a.m. Eastern time.
That's my favorite.
Huh? Yeah. Thanks,
Ellie. God, I hope not. But
yeah. All right, guys. That's what we got. I got to get the hell out of here.
I'll take card ends at 3 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
Elliot, by your profile picture, you're already a winner, my friend. So you've got nothing. You've got nothing but money coming your way. Okay. Very cool.
All right, guys, thank you. Appreciate it. Guys, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Good luck in your contest. See you next time.
Peace. Thanks, everybody.